murderers decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency?
Welcome to Decoding the Crime Verse. I'm Nolte Lee.
And I'm Danny. And
we this are week, still sick. Once again, the energy is here. We're healing.
Let's just say that we went wild.
Yeah.
And then the results was not great for us.
Yeah.
So if you hear about us on the news, no, I'm kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
No, no news.
I'm kidding. Today, we are going to look at the life of the man who broke into Buckingham Palace not once, but twice, and even made his way into the Queen's personal bedroom.
Oh, I like this man.
And I thought we would do this.
But, like, what did he do? Did he, like, attempt to kill her?
No, wait, just
wait. I don't like this man.
No, so Nalin actually hasn't done any research into this
case.
No,
I haven't.
So she's going to hear it all first.
Yeah.
Actually, don't even read the script. You're gonna die. I was doing this morning and I was actually finished. I was like, this man is legendary. He's legendary. Okay, so we're in the summer of 1982 in Buckingham Palace, and it suffered one of its biggest security breaches in modern history. This is the story of how one man with nothing but his wits and a touch of drugs managed to break into one of the most sacred places in England, Her Royal Highness's bedroom. Our story begins.
That is crazy.
At 7:15 a.m. on July the 9th, 1982. The Queen had just turned 56, and it was a summer morning much like any other when the security guard posted outside Her Majesty's door clocked off as usual at 6 a.m. and one of her footmen had taken out her corgis for a walk, and there was also a maid cleaning one of the 240 bedrooms. The Queen herself was sitting in bed mulling over the day's
activities. How many maids do they have? Not one cleaning 240 bedrooms, right?
I know, she was just in one of the bedrooms.
Okay.
I'm sure there's more maids. She was interrupted by the creak of the door hinges, and then the curtains around her bed were moved to the side to reveal some guy standing there without any shoes and blood dripping from one of his hands. He also had a shiv made of glass. However, this was not some KGB agent or IR hitman. This was simply Michael Fagan.
Wow.
So how did he do it? Guys, I can't. This man is so epic. But it's so simply epic. Simply epic.
I'm surprised they didn't kill him.
So let's backtrack. He was out of work and he was paying, and he was the oldest child in a working class family, and he was 30 years old, a father of four, and he had recently been separated from his wife. He was frustrated and on the verge of a mental breakdown, and he had taken to wandering around the streets of the capital at night with a can of lager in his hand, searching for a sense of purpose. Guys, this is not where you find your purpose. I'm just telling you, okay? It was still early in the morning, and the area around Buckingham Palace was empty, as it would still be several hours before the crowds of tourists arrived.
Yeah.
He looked up at the splendor of the sprawling palace in the early light of dawn, and moments later he was clambering over the royal gates, apparently unseen. Okay, he climbed 14 feet to the top of the fence, heaved himself over the barbed wire, and swaggered. Okay, not walked. We swagger across the palace lawn. He then scrambled over 70 feet up a drain pipe to an open window on the upper room, on the upper floors.
And nobody is seeing him.
Said window led to the bedroom of a chambermaid who screamed as she saw his charming face pop over the windowsill. He then scrambled through the window while the maid found a hiding spot in one of the rooms adjacent. By the time the security arrived, our man was successfully concealed in the chamber, and the maid claimed that she must have been seeing things.
No.
So they also didn't.
No.
They also didn't trust her because apparently she'd been to two seances the week before.
Okay.
So she's a little bit of a nut job. Okay, Fagan, in his jeans and lager-stained sweatshirt, was able to wander through the palace unrestricted. He would later tell the courtroom, I walked straight in. I was surprised I wasn't captured straight away. I could have been a rapist or something. I knew I could break the security system because it was so weak. Okay. Fagin was able to swagger around the halls with right into some of the most sensitive areas in the palace. After a few minutes of wandering around the literal home of the British royal family, he came across the corridor with the names of royal princes and princesses, such as Princess Anne, Prince Charles, and Princess Diana. Fagin said the palace was very ordinary, with dusty decorations and squeaky floorboards. He started to wonder how the hell he hadn't been caught yet. The problem began is that he couldn't find a bathroom and he's been drinking beer all night. Eventually, he relieved himself in a bin labeled corgi food. Poor dogs, now they're eating your... Yeah. After dealing with his most immediate problem, Fagin said he didn't want to disturb any of the slumbering royals, but he was curious to have a peek behind some closed doors. So, he picked his way through them and he came across the office of the royal secretary and found a large pile of gifts that sat on top of a desk because he had broken in 2 weeks before Prince William was born. So these were all the gifts.
Yeah.
And guess what? He found a bottle of wine that was meant for Prince Charles. So his adrenaline is racing, but he's feeling a bit down because now the beer is fading.
Yeah.
So now he's like, I'm gonna have the wine, but he couldn't find
A corkscrew.
So he just pushed the
wine
and started drinking. And he said it tasted cheap. The wine.
Jeez.
Yeah. With wine bottle in hand, he continued on his adventures when he made his way to the throne room, where he saw three gilded chairs laid out in a row in front of him. And so he did what everyone would do in that situation. He sat on the throne, looking at the millions of pounds worth of royal art, sipping on cheap wine, and munching on tippets of royal cheese.
What does he know? Okay, well, he does know what cheap wine tastes like.
How is he not being caught?
Exactly. Like, where are the people that are...
Buckingham Palace.
And the royals are sleeping, supposed to be extra secure.
He claimed he was waiting for someone to come. And when he couldn't, when no one came, he simply went home. He retraced his steps back out the window, slid down the drain pipe, and hopped back over the fence and went home. The only sign of his visit was the empty wine bottle left on the corridor floor.
That is crazy.
Okay, but now you may have noticed Queen Elizabeth was not mentioned.
Yeah. Here.
Okay, well, we will get to that because this was only the first of the two times man's broke into Buckingham Palace. On June the 7th, 1982, just 3 days after chugging down the cheap wine at the palace, he had a complete mental breakdown and he nicked a car and attempted to try find his estranged wife, but this landed him in a spot in Brixton jail for the next 3 weeks. And while he was inside, he was pondering and wondering about what other mysterious things could be lying behind these closed doors.
Yeah.
And if he got away with it once, maybe he can do it again. So he was dead set on getting back into the palace. So if you can imagine, I mean, it's even more ridiculous than the first time.
Yeah.
He approached the palace at 6:45 a.m. on July the 9th. Okay, and his plan should have fallen short because he actually was spotted by a policeman who phoned the palace police being like, yo, there's a drunk man climbing the gate. But they were like,
why didn't he do something?
No, he went on with his walk.
Really? Anyway,
Michael Fagin once again strolled across the palace lawn and hauled himself up the drainpipe. He tumbled through an unlocked window into the gallery of royal stamp collection, triggering an alarm. The guards thought it must be false, and so they turned it off.
Ugh.
He tried the doors out the stamp museum, but found that they were all locked, so instead he climbed out the window and continued up the drainpipe to the roof of the palace. This is where he decided to ditch his sandals and socks, we do not know why, and he strolled across the roof to an open window which led to the office of Sir Peter Ashmore, ex-vice admiral and master of the household. Such a fancy title, imagine. Although he was filled with curiosity, there were also darker thoughts in mind. So he spotted an ashtray and he broke it and he grabbed the thickest piece and stepped into the corridor in the dead of night, set on finding Her Majesty's bedroom. Obviously, Fagin had no idea the layout of the palace. So now he's just...
Did he want to kill her?
No, you'll find out.
Okay.
So he had lots of time. He figured he had lots of time.
Yeah.
He passed a woman who was vacuuming.
What did she say?
And she just assumed he was part of the palace staff because Mans has a piece of glass in his hand and no shoes.
Okay. And he probably looks drunk.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Fagin used the paintings on the walls to navigate himself, believing the fancier the paintings, the closer you were to the queen's room. After 15 minutes of searching, he found the room he was looking for, and he eased his way inside the room, which he described as small, and he could see someone was there because there were silhouettes
small.
Behind the curtain. He crept over slowly so that he would not wake whoever was sleeping and thought about turning back and sliding out the door again, but curiosity got the better of him. Fagin shifted the curtain to the side to take a peek, and to his surprise, it was in fact the queen. Michael Fagin stood there with no shoes and blood dripping from his hand, and the queen was sitting in her bed in her nightgown. Now, was Michael Fagin planning to assassinate the queen? In a prison-style vendetta? Nope. His plan was to slash his own wrists in front of the queen.
Why?
Because he was depressed and mental breakdown. Yeah. But when he got there, he froze. The queen tried pressing the emergency bell on her bed, and the police... But because the police guard had clocked off at 6 a.m., there was no one at the door.
Oh my... Who ran this palace?
According to the queen's own account, she tried calling the palace police on the phone, but since she maintained her usual calm and collected demeanor, they never treated it as an emergency.
Oh my, it's the queen!
She then ran past Fagin and out the room, and she was apparently barefooted. I can just imagine
this Queen is Elizabeth crazy
running out the room like literally waddling. Shame. This time, Fagin wouldn't have to search for someone to find him, because the queen obviously found someone, and then they apprehended the intruder. So what happened afterwards? It was concluded that he hadn't actually committed any criminal offenses at all, rather than breaking and entering.
Well,
his little excursion legally fell under the less harsh charge of trespassing, which at that time was only a civil offense. And so he actually was never charged with anything. They did try charging for drinking Prince Charles's wine, but that charge was also dropped. Imagine you being charged for drinking the future king of England's wine.
I don't think he'll ever be king. The queen doesn't want to die.
Like, I think she'll...
She really doesn't want to die.
I think she'll die.
And I think...
But I always thought maybe he'd abdicate to William. But my dad says he's too power hungry, so he will get on the throne.
She doesn't want to die.
Anyway.
Sorry, Prince Charles. You'll stay a prince until you
die. Michael was admitted for a long overdue psychiatric evaluation and ended up spending 3 months in a secure mental facility. He was dubbed the Palace Prowler, and the public couldn't quite agree on whether he was a dangerous traitor or an absolute legend. His own father reportedly suffered from a heart attack from the stress of being hounded by the media.
Shame.
After his release, Fagin was bombarded with interview requests from the tabloids, who were desperate to find out details from his visits. Others were concerned about how some random man's casually broke into the home of the British monarchy twice.
Yeah.
Michael Fagin enjoyed several years of fame as the guy who broke into the palace, and it was obviously filled with media appearances, interviews, and things like that.
Yeah.
Fagin could never bring himself to say anything horrible about the queen, and by all accounts was actually quite a big fan of the royals and never intended to do them any harm. 30 years later, so in 2012, it revealed that there was actually more to this break-in, and the reason why he decided to break into Buckingham Palace was because of drugs. About 5 months before the incident, he had fried his head on a massive dose of magic mushroom soup.
What?
Okay, so he was basically... Apparently, it took him 5 months to come down from the high. That's how much he'd taken. So he's basically off his face on mushrooms.
Yeah.
Which also doesn't make him a reliable narrator.
Yeah.
So how he got in and what he saw and things like that. Some details of the story drift between the different retellings, and Fagel's royal connection pretty much ends there. But then obviously he has an epilogue to his story, because why not? In 1984, he served 3 months after assaulting a policeman in a cafe in Wales. 3 years later, a woman reported him running around a patch of waste grounds near London, the London Reservoir, with no trousers on.
Yeah, he was
he was smoking weed and fishing with his mates. And apparently he said he took off his trousers to retrieve a net, but then why'd you take your underpants off?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Anyway, in 1997, he had another brush with the law when him, his ex-wife, who had been reunited with him, and their son were caught dealing heroin. He served a 4-year sentence, and this was the last time that he spent behind bars.
he obviously has now been released and he's lived a relatively quiet life. He's still living in London and has the odd interview here and there. He's 73. When he was 73, he had a double whammy heart attack.
Shame.
And he's doing well now thanks to his kids, grandkids, and his new partner of 17 years. I just think it is ridiculously hilarious that this drunk man broke into Buckingham Palace twice.
Yeah. And I think, like, the Queen should sit down with him since they both don't want to die.
He said that if she reaches 100, he's going to send her a present. From the man who was randomly in your bedroom.
Why would you send her a present? She hates Diana.
Apparently, after that, the security at the Buckingham Palace was significantly increased. So, like,
I hope they fixed their floors as well and dusted the dust of all their stuff, sis.
No, but you see, I think he was just so drunk. Like, yeah, also, probably. They say he said the wine tasted cheap.
Yeah.
Who on this planet is giving Prince Charles cheap wine?
You never know.
You understand. Anyway, I thought it was hysterical.
Maybe
was,
they really just were
I was
broke.
Literally watching this case and I was like, this man was not serious with his life. As for literally crawling up a drain pipe.
Right.
Do you know that if the stomach muscles... Oh, no, thank you.
And it was probably cold.
No.
And how on earth did nobody see him? Okay, it was probably hot then.
Okay, but think about it, right? Back then, like, very few CCTV cameras.
Yeah.
I feel like...
But I thought they'd have, like, thousands of guards, like, patrolling. But that's a lot of money.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Well, I think they do now.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Her surprise when she goes, there's somebody in my room. Ha ha ha, she's just joking. With, like, who does that?
Anyway, the Queen of England, and you're going to tell me she's joking.
Gosh.
I thought this was a very funny case.
Yeah, it was.
And I chose it specifically for you. but that is all for this week. So
no,
for
it's
now,
next week.
Yeah.
No borders.
No funerals.
Like what you're listening to?
Follow us on Gab and Twitter at ActiveFM,
Instagram at ActiveFM777, and Facebook at /ActiveFM.